saying, because the Lord God is God, is King, and we rejoice. One of the things that characterized the early church was how they cared for the needs of each other. In Acts chapter 4, verses 33 through 34, we read these words. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, that there were no needy persons among them. Throughout the Bible, God continually calls us to love and care for each other. These loves are powerful motivators that draw us together and move us to actions that continually deepen our relationship with God and our relationships with each other. It's times like this that we share with Pam and with Rick. These loves, this loving of each other, draws us together and draws us to God. We've heard people say just very recently, and Pam said, that Rick said, I would do anything for this person. Rick often said and believed and felt, I would do anything for these people who are around me. This was the culture that permeated the early church. This was the culture that permeated the believers as they were together. The question is, how did they come to that? How did they come to the place where the soil of their culture was such that they flourished together and had this kind of an attitude in their living? I want to offer a number of reasons why this was so. First of all, Jesus' example and his teaching. Multiple accounts of Jesus meeting with the needs of people are seen throughout Scripture. Think of the account of the Good Samaritan. There was an expert in the law, the Scripture says, that came to test Jesus and asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responded to him and said, what do the Scriptures say? And this expert in the law said, well, the Scripture says that we're to love God and we're to love each other. And then Jesus brings this parable of the Good Samaritan who was accosted on the road and beaten up and thrown into the ditch. And there was a priest went by, and then there was another man of God that went by, and although they looked at this man in his need, they did nothing for him. They walked on. But there was this Samaritan who came by, and the Samaritan saw this man, and he took compassion upon him, and he cared for him. Jesus' example and teaching here is that that's what we do. We see people in need and we take care of them. I think of Jesus then also as he was teaching and there were crowds that came around and the day got long, came to the end of the day and people were tired and were hungry. And it was time to eat. They needed to eat. And the disciple said, well, how are these people going to eat? And what did Jesus do? Jesus gave them a means by which they were all fed. And there was food left over. Jesus fed the 5,000. You know, it was a miracle. How did God do that? But he did it. Why? Because he cared for people. He loved people. And he was going to supply their needs. I think then of Peter and his companions after the resurrection, and these men who had followed Jesus for those years were at a place where they weren't sure what to do next. They weren't sure where to go or what to do, and so they returned to what they knew. And Peter and his companions went to the lake, and they pulled out the boats and their fishing nets, and they went out on the lake fishing. And the night became long, and they caught nothing. It was in the dawn of the morning when they were worn out and had nothing to show for their work that they came back to shore, and Jesus was there and saw them. And Jesus said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Well, we've been fishing, but we've not caught anything." And what does Jesus do? Jesus says, "Well, throw your net on the other side of the boat." And so they throw the net out on the other side of the boat, thinking, what a worthless thing to do. We fished all night and caught nothing. But they threw the net on the other side of the boat, and we know what happened. All of a sudden, they began to draw the net back, and it was so heavy that they could hardly manage to get it back into the boat, and it filled and overflowed the boat with fish. This is Jesus in his love, in his compassion. Jesus didn't say to Peter and his disciples, "What are you doing out there fishing? You know, I've risen. You know, there are things for you to do." He didn't complain about what they were doing. He didn't say, "You're not doing what you should be doing." He saw what they were doing and saw their hard work all night and their need. And he said, "Throw the net on the other side." And they did. And they were blessed. Jesus came and he ministered to them and filled their need. You see, Jesus' teaching and his example is an example of loving and caring and filling the needs of people, number one. Secondly, the passage that we read says that God's grace was powerfully at work. One of the parts of building soil that grows great crops in our lives is God's grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. God's grace was powerfully at work in these early believers. And it was something that was making a difference. And as I thought of this, I thought of my own life and my own testimony of God's grace in me. I know that I'm forgiven. I know that those sins that have been part of my life, God has taken and forgiven them. I've shared with you all the time that I went to that church board meeting and talked about that hidden sin in my life. God's forgiven that. And multiple times since then that I have sinned and God has come and forgiven me. I know that I am forgiven by the grace and mercy of my God. I also know that by God's grace, he has given me gifts. I grew up feeling like I was a dummy. I've told you this before too. I wasn't good in school. My older sister was a straight A student, valedictorian of her high school class, and here comes Dale. You know, my grade card had a few B's on, never any A's. Well, I shouldn't say that. In phys ed, I got A's. But B's and C's and D's. And here's this older sister who's perfect, gets all A's. I felt like I was worthless. I felt like I was nothing. I felt like I could do nothing. Savannah, this morning you talked in Sunday school about getting a job and thinking, but I'm not sure what I can do. I felt the same way many times. But guess what? I became aware that God had given me gifts. God had given me gifts that I could develop and use to become something. Savannah, to get money so that I could buy things. Savannah understands that, you know, she wants things that Mama can't buy for her, but if she has a job, she can work and she can get some of those things. I became aware that God had gifted me by his grace. God gifted me by his grace. Dummy Dummy Dale. I'm no longer Dummy Dummy Dale. I'm Dale who has been gifted by God's grace with gifts to be worthwhile. And then God not only gifted me by his grace, but God also gave me a mission. God gave me purpose in life. God gave me something meaningful to use those gifts that he had given me to do by his grace. The scripture said God's grace was powerfully at work in the believers. God's grace has been powerfully at work in me. Dummy Dummy Dale is no longer Dummy Dummy Dale, but Dale, who by God's grace is gifted and has had purpose and meaning in life. God believes in me. Savannah, God believes in you. Each one of us. God believes in us. God's grace was powerfully at work, building a soil in which the people could thrive. A third thing, God's grace, we see it to be alive in the believers. So God's grace is now alive in those believers of the early church. People were living with the reality of God's grace. A couple of things in relationship to that that are critical for our understanding. Love and grace are inseparable. I'll say that again. Love and grace are inseparable. I cannot offer grace if I do not love. I can't offer grace if I don't love. And I can't love if I'm not willing to offer grace. Two pieces there. Love and grace are inseparable. I can't offer grace if I don't love. And I can't love if I'm not willing to offer grace. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. There's still times that I sin and do things that I should not, that are not honorable to God and honoring to him. And I need his forgiveness. I'm not perfect yet. I still need God's grace in my life. We all need God's grace in our life for the church to flourish, for us to be like those early believers who were experiencing God's presence and God's help. We need to be a people who offer grace to each other so that we can love each other. We need to be a people who love because we have known God's grace for ourselves and we offer God's grace to each other. It's huge. Hard and proud hearts don't accept God's grace. Hard and proud hearts do not accept God's grace. I don't need any help. I can go it on my own. I'm okay. I don't need your love and your relationships. I'm okay. I don't need God's love and forgiveness. I'll take care of me. You take care of you. We know people like that, don't we? Pam isn't like that. You know, a person whose heart is proud and who doesn't accept God's grace wouldn't have come up here and sat up front and talked to us and allowed us to pray with her. People who have hard hearts don't accept God's grace or my grace and my love. Folks, the scripture says that God's grace was alive in the believers. This morning was an example that God's grace is alive in us here. I want to affirm us for that. We need to know that. A fourth thing then. Love and grace leads to generosity. Love and grace leads to generosity. Acts 4:32. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. I'm going to talk more next week about possessions and about the stuff we have. But one of the things that happens when we are who we should be is that we share what we have. And this church is great at doing that. And we're going to have opportunity to do that in the future. I know numbers of people who've talked to me about preparing to be able to share with others in the future. And so they're ordering their lives in a way that they can do that and will be able to do that. Acts 4:34 says this, "From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need." You, this church, this family, has done that wonderfully, has done that often, and does that well. And I affirm that in us. I believe that God's grace and God's love is something that is here with us and among us. I also believe it's something that can grow even more, that it can become even deeper. It's like putting the fertilizer on the land, the fertilizer that it needs to make it do better. And the reality is, when we grow crops, it depletes the land, right? The same is true in our lives. When we give away, it depletes who we are, and so we need to renew that. It needs to be renewed in us, and we work at that, and we do that. God's gift of salvation is for all who acknowledge their need and accept the gift of God's grace and forgiveness. God offers grace. God has offered his grace in my life in ways that I have shared. And I know he's done that for you as well. We, God's people, offer grace. We, God's people, offer love. Who are we? We are a people whose lives have been transformed by God's love and by God's grace. Who are we? This is who I believe we are. We are people whose lives have been transformed by God's love and by God's grace. What are the results of that? We are people who love others and offer others grace for living. And we are a people who generously care for and help others in their times of need. This is a question that I'm going to be raising numerous times as we move ahead through our teaching times here. This question of who are we, and bringing some answers to that. And as we think about our lives together as a church and as people, as Christians, as Christ followers, as the family here at 11th and Buckeye, as we enter situations where opportunities come to us, whether to give testimony to our faith or whether to take out our pocketbook and give money to help someone in need, we answer the question that's in our own heart, what am I going to do now? By saying, this is who I am. God wants us to be this kind of people, people of grace, people of love. And I believe that's who we are. I've seen it. I've experienced it as each of you has done that in various ways at various times. And I'm thankful for that. God, help us to continue to grow in all of this. We're going to sing a song now in closing that has been one that we used to sing all the time before COVID, because we'd sing it with our offering. We give thee but thy own. We're going to sing that first verse, and we're going to sing it because It's a statement of why we give. We give because it's really not our own, it's God's, and by God's grace it has come to us, so we give. Stand with me as we sing this benediction. Really, what's God's? It's what God, by His grace, has given us. And because of God's grace and our experience of His grace and His love, we give back to each other and to the world that needs our loving, our grace, and our giving. I just say, let's continue to be generous people who bring glory to our Lord and our God. Amen. Come and worship the King.